Let me do this, though. I'm going to jump on over now to the Right Side Way monologue, the opening monologue for every single day. And I'm calling this one Wedge Politics. Wedge Politics. Well, so first of all, there's a principle in warfare on the ability to exploit the weaknesses of another enemy on the battlefield. You find their weak point. You mash your forces in that location in an attempt to create a breach in their lines. And then you capitalize on the breach by pushing through, conducting an envelopment of the enemy so they are now fighting on more than one front. Basically, you split their troops. But what if you do if you can't find a weakness in your enemy's lines? Well, the answer is you try to make one by driving a wedge into a spot of your own choosing. There's a story about Alexander the Great. And I may have told it before, but just forgive me if I have. But there's a story about Alexander the Great, the king of the Greek kingdom of Macedon. He was a great battlefield commander. He was known to ride out to the epicenter of the battles on his own famous battle horse named Bucephalus. And he led an elite band that he called the Companion Cavalry. And in one particular battle, Alexander found his forces face to face with an impressive and seemingly impregnable front line of his opposition. And it's said, though, that rather than just charge directly into the opposing lines, that Alexander and his Companion Cavalry began riding parallel to them, straight down the battlefield, and the enemy, not knowing what to do with that, began to sort of follow parallel to him. And they did so, but it strung them out over a distance, at which point when their lines had become stretched thinner, Alexander wheeled his cavalry into the now thinned out lines and wedged his way through them, thereby cutting the enemy forces in half. He created the breach. He conducted a classic envelopment. My point here is that Alexander did not just go headlong. He created the breach. He drove a wedge into a thinned out line of his enemy. And if we're not careful, by the way, that's exactly what liberals will do to us if we let them. You see, sometimes liberals are so blatantly obvious that it becomes laughable. Sometimes they're more subtle, though. But one thing I have come to know for sure is that liberals will do all they can to drive a wedge between the various personalities that make up their opposition. I mean, it's actually part of their rule book. I call it wedge politics. But basically it means that they have strung out their opposition. And that once having done so, they drive the wedge through and they hammer it over and over until they split the lines. It's no different than using a chopping wedge to split firewood. You find a seam in the grain of the wood, you put the wedge in place, you pound it with a mallet or the backside of an axe until the seam becomes a split, the split becomes a break, and the break becomes separate parts. And like I said, liberals use that tactic every day on conservatives. It's part of their actual rule book. Yeah, that rule book, you may have heard of the guy who wrote it, Saul Alinsky. A radical community organizer who was loved by people like Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Bill Ayers, and others. Alinsky was so impressed with Hillary Clinton's senior thesis on her own work that he actually offered her a job. Alinsky wrote a book called Rules for Radicals, which is still to this day seen as the foundation for liberal community activism. And in that book, he described his 13 rules. Now, I could spend all day dissecting the 13 rules that Saul Alinsky promoted, some of which seem like common sense and some of which are just downright evil. But for the purposes of this discussion on wedge politics, let me just give you two of them. Rule number 5, ridicule is a man's most potent weapon. Ridicule, interesting. And rule number 13, you pick the target, you freeze it, you personalize it, and then you polarize it. So in essence, rule number 5, the ridicule, is like the wedge, and rule number 13 is like the hammer. My friends, we are the wood. Conservatives are the opposing force. Using Alinsky's rules, which are in print for all to see, they do that exactly thing. They ridicule and then they mock their targets. They freeze them in place, make it a personal attack because that's deeper. And then they polarize situations so no one wants to touch it with a 10-foot pole. They make you scared to respond, which is their way of driving a wedge. That's exactly why liberals are constantly thinking up new labels and identifiers for anyone on the right. They pick their target. They give it a label that amounts to ridicule. You're a homophobe. You're a racist. Then they get you like a deer in the headlights, and they overwhelm you with a series of personal attacks and dare you to say anything about it, make you feel like you're a leper in society if you dare to refute their claims. And when they are successful with those attacks, then they have effectively breached our lines. Look, don't attack the issues, they say. Attack the person, the people of the opposing force. That's what they do. Think about it. They tear down the person. Sometimes, that wedge politics, it can backfire. It's true. And I think we're watching some of that right now. Sometimes a wedge can wind up backfiring if you get yourself strung out too far. Liberals are finding that out right now with the dock worker strike that just kicked off last night at midnight. I mean, here's an example for you. In World War II, the Battle of the Bulge was a large-scale attempt to drive a wedge through Allied forces. It was Hitler's version of wedging the enemy or driving a wedge through them. But Hitler got ahead of himself. The Nazis, they couldn't maintain their supply lines. They pushed through into Allied lines, but they never truly reached the point of breakthrough. They never, praise God, succeeded in enveloping the Allied forces. The Battle of the Bulge wound up backfiring on them. Well, right now, the Biden-Harris administration is finding out in real time how it feels to push a wedge and then lose the momentum. Tens of thousands of members of the International Brotherhood of Longshoremen that run the ports that handle the trillions of dollars of imports and exports to our economy, they are on strike as of last night. It's said that the nation runs on trucking, but trucking gets much of its work from the ports. Everything from cars to clothes to groceries to you name it. Our economy runs on what comes through those ports. And without them, we face massive shortages, rising inflation as prices go up to help cool demand. Economists say that for every day this strike continues, it's going to cost the U.S. economy up to $4.5 billion per day. $4.5 billion per day. But this wedge was created by the liberals. They have emboldened the union base that the union believes it can get away with anything right now under the Biden-Harris administration. And I have to ask, is it possible that the Biden-Harris administration built the wedge they call the union and now it's backfiring on them because they can no longer contain it? But there's a way out. There is. There's a law that was passed 70 years ago called the Taft-Hartley Act. It allows a president to take control of union negotiations that impact national securities or ruin the broader economy. But Biden-Harris won't do that. Why? Because they have worked the best they can to build a wedge around their relationship to labor unions, and they are worried right now that if they intervene to help the negotiations overcome their impasse, that the union vote would be lost. Swing states like South Carolina and Georgia have ports in them, and all along the eastern seaboard and down around to the Gulf Coast in places like Mobile and New Orleans. Union workers, union voters. And so the Biden administration has built itself up. It has driven its wedge. They are the administration for the union bosses. And yet they still lost the Teamsters vote recently. And it sent paroxysms of fear through their democratic souls. How could this be? They're a union. How could we lose the Teamsters? Yeah. Suddenly that wedge they had worked for so many years to build has come back to bite them. And they are now paralyzed with the idea of trying to oppose the unions any further. Rather than keep the opposing forces on the right at bay, they suddenly find themselves realizing that the wedge they built, the wedge called union, 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 means they have to decide between the greater economy and the risk of rising inflation right before an election, and the inability of working class folks to put food on their tables in a supply chain disruption, and the fear of angering the remaining union voters right before the election. Yeah, how's that wedge politics thing working out for you now? Think about it. Why do they label things constantly? Why carve up society into segments? It's because they use Saul Alinsky's rules. They create a wedge. They try to divide us. They create that wedge. They try to hammer it home. But right now, because that's what they do all the time, because they love to divide, they have chosen now to pit workers against the world by pretending to be the buddies of the union bosses, and suddenly it's backfiring, but we're the ones who get to face risking our entire economy taking a hit. It's the Battle of the Bulge right now. It's the wedge in their politics, and yet it's backfiring, and we're the ones who get to take the hit. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. I'm serious when I say the reality is they have built this wedge. They have so aligned themselves with the notion that the unions are theirs that when the unions demand something that could ruin the whole economy, they don't know what to say, and they're stuck, and they refuse to take the actions that they could take, but they won't. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.